We're talking about end time participants. And the title of this message is All False Religion is a Child or a Spawn of Satan. A Child or a Spawn of Satan. In other words, Satan spawns all false religion. Now let's read Revelation 17:5. I'll be reading it, translating it to you from the original Greek language that the Bible was written. And upon the forehead of her, upon her forehead, a name having been written, Mysterion, Mystery of Babylon, Mystery Babylon, or Mystery of Babylon's, Mystery of Confusion, literally, Mystery and Confusion the Great, and the Mother of Fornication, and the Abomination of the Earth. Now, in my doctor's thesis, I wrote these words in 1980. The spawn of Satan and the mother of all false religion and the mother of fornicators, the mother of religious confusion, the mother of lies and liars, and the Tower of Babel. We have the law of Hammurabi, or Hammurabi and Hammurabi both. And they're a copycat of what would become the law of God by Moses. Secret religions, secret societies, Satan is the mother of all secret religions. We see this all the way back before Christ, way back in the Old Testament. Semiramis, the high priest of idol worship, Semiramis. Semiramis gave birth to a son who she claimed had been conceived, or she had conceived as a virgin. Does this sound a little bit copycat? She had received as a virgin miraculously. The son was given the name of Tammuz. He was considered to be the savior of his people. A false messiah hanging on to the messianic promise of Genesis 3:15. And the fulfillment of the promise given to Eve. The legend of the mother child, the mother and the child, were incorporated into religious rites and duplicated in many pagan religions. Idols picture the mother also as the queen of heaven, also as the mother of God. Does this sound familiar? The Madonna and child. The queen of heaven with a baby in her arms. Throughout the ancient world, countless religious rites were introduced promising religious cleansing. A priestly order surrounded the worship of the mother and child, as Tammuz was said to have been killed by a wild beast, but afterward was brought back to life as a copycat of the real resurrection of Jesus Christ. A false representation of the resurrection. A great spectacle of evil and the epitome of satanic influence through the world. Satan knows what was going to happen. God threatened him with Genesis 3:15. The chief priest of Babylon wore crowns. The chief priest of Babylon wore crowns. The form of the head of a fish. The pagan god was called Dagon and is called God or Dog in Hebrew language. Dagon was the keeper of the bridge between this life and the afterlife. Remember, they crossed over the river Styx. They had to pay the boatmen with the coins that people placed on the eyes of the departed. And then they had to swim the river Lethe. And that's when they forgot all about the life that they had lived. They become lethargic. He was the bridge between this life and the afterlife. Imprinted on these golden crowns was the title Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus of these pagan religions. Pontifex Maximus. The title was used by the Caesars, then Roman emperors. Now, I know Pontifex Maximus is a Latin term, but it goes all the way back in all the different languages. The Roman emperors later became known as Pontifex Maximus. And later, by the Pope, now known as Pontifex Maximus. Confusion of smoke and pagan rites fermented in the wine of Roman Catholicism. Until you see the great mystery religion of today and religions of today. God warned His people of old not to believe in or mix false religion with theirs. Jezebel did that. Balaam did that. When Muhammad was born, about 570 AD, the Roman Catholic Church had already begun. Constantine had called himself Pontifex Maximus and also the Apostle of God. Many of the ancient writers said that Muhammad had big ears. He listened a lot. His religion was a combination of what we might call a seer or a religious zealot of his day, and he copycatted it. And he took the writings of the Gnostics, and he took the writings of some of the heretics of that time, which were Gnostics also, and he incorporated it into what he called the Quran. The Quran is a copycat of the Bible. You have Adam in the Bible. In the Quran, you have Adam in the Bible. You have Noah. Except that Muhammad did not chronologically get things straight. He mixes up Moses' sister Miriam with Mary of the New Testament. And many other things. He has a flood, except it is extremely eccentric. But he did get one thing right. He figured out that if he spread his religion by the sword, it would work. And it did. And it has until this day. You can look on the internet almost every day and you can find out where some Christian or some other Muslim opposite or some other Christian group is beheaded by Islam every day. They behead each other because Muhammad did that. Muhammad, in the last year and a half of his life, declared war on the world and war on all other religions. He listened a lot. What was going on in Catholicism in his day. And he spread it. And then Catholicism and Islam fought across the Mediterranean Sea for 1,000 years. Then it says here, I saw the woman being drunk out of the blood of the saints. She's drunk with blood of the saints. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Islam has killed 270 million. And still counting every day. Catholicism slowed down a little bit since the Protestant Reformation. Islam has just spread faster and further. This woman, this religious Babylon, I believe this religious Babylon to be Islam. And I think that possibly even Catholicism would line up with it. The Pope is very careful not to condemn Islam. We had several presidents that were very careful not to condemn Islam. Clinton. George Bush, that was in bed with Islam in the Middle East, the oil business, and his father. And then we have Obama. And then we have an odd duck. We have Trump. Now, how this election is going to turn out, who knows? If they ever get through all of the scams and things, who knows? But if Biden gets in there, he's going to be back in bed with Islam again, including his vice president, which will probably become president. Back in bed. See, us Christians, we are outlaws of society. We are nonconformist. We are racist. Racist. Hating everybody. That's the way they painted our president for 4 years. And that's, Christianity is going to become an outlaw religion. Islam will be the bride of sweet what we call nonviolent and peaceful religion. Obama and all the rest of them, including the new vice president, all claims that Christianity was so cruel to Islam. Christendom, Catholicism, was never good. There's nothing good about Catholicism ever. There was nothing good about her wars. There was nothing good about Islam's wars. Christianity is what the truth is. Satan has so smoked up the screen of Christian, what we might call church history, that most people think church history is Catholicism. Church history were those Christians that were being killed by Catholicism and Islam. My wife is a direct descendant of some of the, what we might call the Waldenses, or the churches of the valleys of the Piedmont. How did the churches of the Valley of Piedmont get there? Well, the churches of the Valley of Piedmont were really the seven churches of Asia. And then Islam came along in 600 A.D. Not only were they persecuted by the Catholic Church, now the true Christians in Asia Minor and Turkey today. You know, they came in there in hordes. The wars, spreading freedom and jizya. You know? That's jizya means protection money. If you live in a Islamic society, you have to pay protection money if you're not Islam. A great amount of your income goes to protection money. You think the Godfather didn't learn that? Where do you think he got that protection money? We see all of this history. And we're talking about it right here. The woman that was drunk with the blood of the saints for 1,500 years or more. You know, Catholicism didn't start until 325 A.D. with Constantine. And there's where we have the church called the Church Catholic, the Universal Church. And the woman, the false religious system, and I'm talking about Catholicism, I'm talking about Islam, I'm talking about all of that. Drunk with the blood of the saints. And she shall be drunk with the blood of the saints during the tribulation period here. We find out 5 out of every 6 people in the world are going to die by this whore. By the power of her, the harlot, the mother of all false religions. All false religions in power, they want to rule the world. To be a member of the church and the state is the same thing in Islam and Catholicism. The first thing that a Muslim baby hears is, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. There is no God but Allah and he has no companion, he has no son. And Muhammad is his messenger or prophet or apostle. Brainwashing from the moment of birth. And I saw the woman being drunk with the blood of the saints. And out of the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And I wondered, having seen her, I wondered greatly. A great evil spectacle. 17 and verse 7 now. And he said to me, the angel did, why have you wondered? And I shall tell you the mysterion of the woman, the mystery of the woman. By the way, the word woman is usually many times in the Bible a representative of false religion. The woman that hid the leaven in the meal. That was a woman, a false religious woman, that hid the leaven in the meal. The Word of God has been copycatted. The plan of salvation has been copycatted since Satan heard the promise in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and verse 15. I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast, the one carrying her and the one having the 7 heads and the 10 horns. 7 great empires. 7 great empires rose and fell. And the main purpose of these 7 empires was those who ruled over Jerusalem and the Middle East area, Palestine, Canaan. 7 empires. Every one of them having false religions behind them. The Egyptian Empire was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, or by Syria, that is, in 626 to 609. The Assyrian Empire was conquered by the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, 626 to 609. In 539 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar conquered Pharaoh Necho. In 505 B.C., he went down and took on Judah. In 597, that is. Cyrus the Great conquered the Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, in 539 B.C., the Greek Empire conquered the Medo-Persian Empire in 334 to 324 B.C. The Roman Empire took over what was left of the Greek Empire, but the culture of the Roman of the Greek Empire conquered the Roman Empire. They adopted the culture of the Greeks. And that was 146 B.C. Also, Antony and Cleopatra placed Herod the Great as king over Israel and Judah, as a puppet of Rome. The Islamic Empire fought with the Roman Empire, and they ruled over parts of Europe for over 300 years. Finally, in 1455 A.D., Constantinople was taken over. There's the seven churches of Asia. The Paulicians, the what we might call the Mennonites, the Amish that would come out of this area and go into Russia and China and all over the world, were in the valleys of the Piedmont. They had escaped the sword of Islam and Catholicism and gone into the valleys of the Piedmont. But over here, I'll show this to you. There's a little book talking about these churches that had escaped Islam and Catholicism for a while. This book here, The History of the Evangelical Churches of the Valleys of the Piedmont, tells us here that it is most exact graphical description of the place and a faithful account of the doctrine, life, and persecutions of an ancient inhabitants that had come from the seven churches of Asia that had been conquered and taken over by Catholicism and then taken over by Islam, and now they're up here in the valleys of the Piedmont. And this book was written in 1658. It goes on to tell here, it denounces popery. And by the way, this is England now. England. England's description of what Catholicism did in the valleys of the Piedmont. They escaped Catholicism, they escaped Islam, and now they went in here for hundreds of years. They have some of it is said they had some of the autographed signatures of the New Testament. They had all the books of Paul. They were called Paulicians. They were called Waldenses. The Waldenses means up the valleys. It says here that the Catholic Church found out about these people here in the valleys of the Piedmont, and that the Catholic Church went in there and pillaged and raped and burned and murdered hundreds of people that had sought solace there for over 1,000 years. They took the women, they raped the women. They burned people alive in caves. They burned their homes down. Their homes they would build, and they'd build underneath the homes were animals. Now, this is cold country. Nobody else wanted to live there. But they wanted to live there because they loved God and they wanted to preach the Word of God and believe in Christ and carry on a Christian life. Some of these people lived to be very old. Some of these people, many of these people that were murdered were over 80 years old and some over 100. The women were first of all raped and ravaged. Sometimes their breasts were chewed off. Their private area was cut out sometimes. They would be marched around. I'm not kidding. And it tells you the very names of the people. very names of the people that they did this. I'm going to put this up here in front of the camera. If you can look there, you'll see women on stakes run to their up through their private areas all the way up and through their bodies. Their breasts were cut off, and they fried their breasts on fires and ate them. Like cannibals. This happened. It tells you the very name of these people. Talked about cutting their noses off, cutting their lips off, cutting their ears off, gouging their eyes out. Now, this is written by Samuel Morning, if you want to get a copy of this. The most naked and punctual relation of the late bloody massacre, 1655, a narrative of all of the following transactions to the year of our Lord, 1658. Between 1655 and 1658, these people were murdered, massacred, raped, and pillaged. And they did exactly what Islam does. Burning people. Crucified them. Raped and pillaged. This religion in the end time will be a combination of all of it. Every bit of it. Having seven heads and ten horns. Horns is always a signification of power. Verse number 8. And the beast which you saw, he kept on being. He kept on, can he continued. And not he is, and he is about to come up out of the abyss. And into destruction he goes. And they shall wander, and they shall not cease to be struck out of their senses. The ones dwelling upon the earth, of whom it has been written, the name upon the scroll of life from the foundation of the world system. Before the planning of the construction of that universe, some people's names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It needs to be. We live in a time of great change. People, this nation was destroyed during the Civil War. The Civil War was over states' rights and freedom. It was a republic. The Civil War was not over, didn't begin over slavery. It ended up being over slavery. When Sherman and Grant went through and fought Robert E. Lee, they could have never beat him except that they broke the rules of war. We saw Georgia and Alabama. How was Sherman burning a pass through all those cities and burning the cities down? You know, that's not supposed to be. This is what we're calling killing and burning civilians. The rights and the freedoms of the world of America dissolved little by little. We had a few great men in America that lifted up America. John B. Stetson was one of the greatest men that ever lived in America. John B. Stetson. I wear Stetson hats. Won't buy anything else. John B. Stetson was a Baptist. He went out to Colorado. He had tuberculosis. He went out to Colorado to get for what we might call recovery. And he went out there and he began to make hats. Cowboy hats. Mining hats, actually. Then cowboys wanted them. These big, wide-brimmed hats. And he knew how to make them out of beaver fur. He went back to the east and started a hat factory. And he was making thousands and thousands and thousands of hats. But the only thing about getting hatters, a hatter. You know, in that movie with Judy Garland and some of the stars back then, the Wizard of Oz, they had a hatter in there. He's called the Mad Hatter. Now, people that work in hat making used a lot of mercury. And mercury affects your nervous system and your mind. John B. Stetson started schools. He started for his people, his hatter. He was producing, he had this great big hat factory. Assembly line construction of hats. Henry Ford copied it. Henry Ford copied and originally a lot of things that John B. Stetson did. I remember when my daughter was growing up, I think it was about the fifth or sixth grade, all the way from the kindergarten all the way through the eighth grade, I was a volunteer teacher in her schools. And I was a teacher of history and language and reading. And I told the story of John B. Stetson. And the little kid's eyes got so big. John B. Stetson made America great. He showed, he gave his employees, that is, a certain amount of retirement and also stock in the company. He created schools for them. He had hospitals. He had mental health clinics because it would mess up the minds of his workers. And he had to make them, to make all these hats, he had to keep them healthy. He had hospitals. Henry Ford began his operation and copied him. Teddy Roosevelt put this type of philosophy into being. Franklin Roosevelt extended what Teddy Roosevelt had. And we built America. The middle class was big. People could own homes. They could have automobiles. It changed the whole society of America. And now we have this facing us. The Bible says things aren't going to get better. You can hope for all of that you want in this world, but things are not going to get better. It's going to get real bad right here. And what part does America play in all of that? What part does America play? Is America even mentioned in the Bible? What part do we play? Well, I'll tell you. The apostles went out and they canvassed the whole world that was around them. The Church of England came to America and planted colonies. And every colony in America was a state church religious deal. You had to pay taxes, and the taxes were for the support of the church. Of the colony. And then we had William Penn, Pennsylvania. We had these colonies that identified themselves, Maryland, with Mary and Catholicism. And then there was one unusual group in Rhode Island. In Rhode Island. Roger Williams and Dr. John Clark. And they petitioned the King of England to allow one colony to have freedom of religion for everybody. For years they petitioned. in Providence and Newport, Rhode Island, there were two churches, and they were Baptist churches. One Roger Williams was part of for a while, and the other one was Dr. John Clark, and he stayed there. One was founded in 1638, one was founded in 1639. And they introduced religious freedom to America. And America, what we might call, during the Adoniah Judson and all of the other missionaries sent out from England and America, they became missionaries. And they took Christianity back to the darkened world of Islam. And America has played a little part in that. One time for several weeks, in my Sunday school class at Valley Baptist Church, I talked about martyrs. Martyrs. Every one of the martyrs, they were all Baptist Christian martyrs, and every one of them had been killed by Islam. They'd been persecuted by Catholicism in places, but they had been murdered by Islam. One of my more well-known students was killed with her whole group trying to go into the Islamic world to get water wells drilled for them, Karen Watson. In the Philippines, in India, and all parts of the Middle East, these martyrs died trying to help the enemy. Enemies don't want our help, people. They don't want our help. They'll take our money, they'll smile at you and cut your throat and back. The missionaries go into the Islamic world and they can't even say Jesus. They can't pray in the name of Jesus. All they can do is be shining examples of martyr. They can't even pray in public. And they want to come to America and have freedom of religion and set up settlements here with their Islamic societies and no-go zones. This is the world that we're entering into and that we live in today. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. The Southern Baptist Convention said in the early 1900s, if they get so many $1 million, they go out and convert the world and bring in the millennium. They got the millions of dollars, but they didn't bring in the millennium. What we have now, the largest religion in the world and the fastest growing religion in the world, is not Christianity. It is Islam. Fact. And the beast which you saw, he kept on being... In the Bible, there's a beast, there is an antichrist, and a false prophet. In Islam, we got the Mahdi, we got the beast, and we got the false prophet Isa. In Islam, all of them are good guys. In the Bible, they're all evil and satanically driven. That's what we have in the last days. This is what we have in the last days. And all of the people upon the earth, they are just wandering around in a maze, in a fog of religious confusion, except the ones whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They know what's going to happen. I can tell you, I know what's going to happen here, people. Watch and see. I'm not a prophet by any means. I don't have the gift of prophecy. But I can read the newspapers, I can watch television and see what's going on throughout the world, and I can see what's happened to America. I can see what happened to England. I can see what happened to France and Germany and Belgium and Netherlands. We see what happened. Spain, Italia. We see what happened. We saw it then, and we see it now. Gruesome, heartless, vicious killings in the name of religion. No true religion ever killed anybody for conversion. Never. And Muhammad said in Mecca, conversion is not mandatory. But in Medina, he said, kill them if they don't convert. A religious doctrine was substituted for the other because Allah changed his mind, according to Muhammad. We got up to verse number 8. Seeing the beast that he kept on being, and not he is, and he shall be. Seven mountains, seven governments. The seventh government went down. Islam went down in October 1900. October the 29th, 1923. We have this to look forward to in the end times. Are you ready? Are you ready to be caught up by the hand of God and taken out of all of this? Or do you want to be a conversion, a late conversion, during the tribulation period and get to face all of this horror and hell on earth? Rapture takes place. The bride is united with her husband in heaven. In New Jerusalem, in that great banquet hall where the wedding is taking place, it'll take place. There will be a wedding feast for 7 years on earth. There will be hell on earth for 7 years. Islam says that the Mahdi will rule for about 7 years. The Bible says that the Antichrist will rule for 7 years. In the middle of that, he will bring peace to the world, it says. And then in the middle of that peace, he will bring death to the world. 5 out of every 6 people will die. 2 out of every 3 Jews will die. 5 out of every 6 Gentiles. What are you, a Gentile or a Jew? Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out that it might touch the hearts of peoples, that it might prepare them for what we have ahead of us. Father, we look at your word. We see that nations rise and fall. We saw America rise and fall. And rise and fall, and rise and fall. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your comfort in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, and please forgive me where I fail you. Amen.